friends, to our Thursday edition of the Grace Hour, and we are so thankful to be able to come to you today. And this has been a glorious, amazing, tremendous week, and I think you know why. We've got a whole group of precious body members assembling every day, actually. Uricon is like very, very unique. I would just say that, and if you can, and you can, by the way, because we will be broadcasting the evening, Thursday evening service live at 2 p.m., and you can watch that with us together on ggwo.org, and you just go down, scroll down a little bit to the live button and live broadcast, click on that, and you're in. And that'll be at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time today, right today. And I think you'll get the sense, as we have, of the incredible oneness, just the, you know, the lack of gap, I would say. Because if you think of it, it's been over 2 years since we've had a European conference. And so all of those dear, precious saints and the churches that are there just had not had the opportunity to be together like they are this week. And so that is very special for them, but it's special for us too, because in actuality, there is no distance, there is no time issue when we are one in Christ Jesus. Well, we're going to open up the telephone lines where you can join us on the broadcast. And I want to remind our listeners that we conclude the broadcast at 1:45 this week, simply because we want to transition and make our European conference, Eurocon, available to you. So don't wait till the last minute or the last 10 minutes, okay, to get your phone calls in. 1-800-338-7060 is the toll-free number. Wow, toll-free number. I haven't heard that in a while, but, you know, they do exist, so you won't have to pay a dime. And then the local number, which also for all of our Canadian and international callers, 410-483-3700, and either one of those telephone numbers will get you on the broadcast, and we are thankful for that. So, as we have been talking concerning the book of Proverbs, and, you know, Solomon principally is the one who's been attributing most of the Proverbs that you and I have the privilege of reading. Awesome, anointed, you know, this is the Word of God for us, to give us wisdom, to give us understanding, to give us light, and to give us insight into the character and nature of God. But not only that, how to live practically and purposefully here on the earth. And so in the studio with me today is Pastor John Hadley. He's going to be sharing a devotional thought on the topic of holiness. Is that right? Holiness?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Purity.
Purity. Purity is on the schedule. But we'll take what you're going to share on that.
Okay. Yes. Good afternoon, everybody. Oh, it's great to be here. And this relevant theme of purity or holiness, I think, is before we came to know the Lord, those were words that were too high and lofty for us. I mean, holiness, what is holiness? We thought of the church, we thought of the steeple, we thought of the priest, we thought of God, of course, but we didn't think of ourselves, I don't think, pure. Oh, I think we knew we were not pure. Holy, that was even higher than pure. Holy, only God is holy. That's unattainable, unless you are a, you know, in the saint category. But personally, I didn't know any, never met any saints. Never really met that I am aware of any Christians, born-again Christians. Pastor Wright, I don't know about you, but I never till I was 20. I don't think anyone ever witnessed to me.
You know, somebody else shared that, and that seems to be extraordinarily interesting that it's like that because, of course, we're in a Christian nation. Why shouldn't we have someone share the gospel with us? But, yeah, I think that's very unique, and I agree.
Yeah. So just, you know, what does that really mean? Can we attain to purity and holiness? And, of course, the Bible word is holiness. And the process to get there is called, the big word, sanctification, from where we get the word saint. So just without belaboring the point, but the Bible has a lot to say about it. And it's interesting, just going back to Exodus, that the priest was to have this golden plate engraved that said, that went over the forehead on the mitre, and it said, "Holiness to the Lord." Now, that was to be in the forefront of the priest's mind, was holiness, purity, separated to the purpose of God. And so, you know, this is a beautiful thing. It says so in Chronicles. It talks about worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Holiness is beauty because it is undefiled. It's not tainted in any way. There are no imperfections. Adulteration, if we can use that word. There's no admixture. It's not diluted. It's not changed. It is pure. It is holy. It is God. And therefore, it is beautiful. Worship Him in the beauty of holiness. God is beautiful. His holiness is beautiful. And when we operate in His holiness, it's a beautiful thing to Him. So we praise Him, and that we should praise the beauty of holiness, He says. So God's throne is the holy throne, and His throne is on the holy mountain. That's Psalm 48:1. Actually, we can say you can't get away from it. God is holy, always has been, always will be, and it is His will to make us holy, to make us like Him, to be always in a growing way, setting us apart from ourselves, our sinful ways, our bad habits, these things that plague us. Yes, when we see Him, we will be like Him. But until we see Him, we have been predestined to holiness, to be conformed to the image of Christ. So I'm getting to Psalm, I'm getting to Psalm 15, but just wanted to kind of place it on this foundation. Do you remember when Peter and John, that was a good, these guys were great, were a duo, Peter and John, not James and John, yes, but Peter and John. Jesus sent them on a couple missions. He sent them to go into town to prepare the room where they would celebrate the Passover. He sent them in, follow the man with the water pot, follow him into the house where he goes, talk to the master of the house, tell him that the Lord has need for the room to be prepared. And they went and they followed the man. They went into the house. They talked to the owner. And they said, it was all just as it was told them. Oh, my goodness. It was all just as Jesus has said. Hey, just a little thought there. It will always be just as Jesus has said. It will always be. You will not veer one iota from what He has said. He is faithful and true. On His thigh is written truth, right? Is that what it is? On His thigh was written, okay, maybe it'll come back to me, but it is in reference to truth. He is faithful. So let's go to Psalm 15. And it could be that Psalm 15 is, that the background of it is 2 Samuel chapter 6, where David, because of his lack of obedience and biblical discernment, was a life was lost. A life was lost because the ark was transported like the Philistines did, on a cart, a new cart. And Aholiab and Uzzah, as these brothers, there was a shaking of the cart, and he reached forward to steady it, and he fell to the ground dead, because Numbers says that anyone who touches the ark will die. God was not happy about the ark, but when it came to putting his hands on the ark of God, that was the fatal move, and he died. And David was angry, and he was fearful. And he said, no, we're not taking the ark to Jerusalem. We're going to the house of Obed-Edom, who was a priest, by the way. So that's what happened. David was angry, probably at himself. What was I thinking? Now I recollect in my mind what God said about the transporting of the ark. I deviated from the divine pattern, and so it was that the ark was taken to the house of Obed-Edom. And there it was for 3 months. And then word came back to David. David, you know what? The house of Obed-Edom, they are so glad that you put the ark on their property, in their house, because they are being blessed. He and his family are beside themselves with the blessings that have come from the presence of the ark. And David goes, that's it. We're going to get it. So they went and they transported it as God had told them, with the poles through the rings on their shoulders. God delights to be transported by his people. He doesn't want some kind of artificial transportation, some kind of secondary means. God wants to be transported, we could say, in the hearts of his people. What kind of God is our God? He desires fellowship, and he desires relationship, and he desires closeness, and he desires this intimate connection between himself and his children. So just, we'll go to Psalm 15. I'm just having too much fun over here, Pastor Wright. The blessing of God. I don't know what Obed-Edom thought when the ark left his house. I'm sure the blessing stayed because of him and his family. They must have been upright, holy people before the Lord. But David said, that's it. And he took it to Jerusalem. And he had to build a tent for it. This is before the tabernacle. So he says, perhaps reflecting on this traumatic situation that happened. And David comes home, and he's so happy. We don't know what his attire was like, but apparently he didn't have on his Sunday best, because Michael, his wife, is looking at him, scorning him in her heart. And so she treated him with contempt. And as a result, he was jumping and dancing before the Lord, however he was dressed, but she thought it was despicable. And David was completely free before the Lord to celebrate. He was so happy after what had happened. I can't lose the presence of God. I can't live that way. It's impossible. What good is my life without God at the center? He must have been broken, remorseful, depressed, angry at himself. But when he heard the blessing was back, he got the ark, and he could not contain himself because he was so happy. And he's jumping around and dancing before the people, and she's not spiritual and thinks this is a terrible sight for the king to act this way. And David says, oh, yeah? You haven't seen You haven't seen nothing yet. And as a result, she had no children. It doesn't say the reason, it doesn't exactly state that that was connected to that, but it's in the context. So, anyways, maybe I'll have to abbreviate this. But it says, David asks the question, O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent, and who shall dwell on your holy hill? He's now maybe thinking about that. Listen, he's thinking, it's not just, you don't just come waltzing into the presence of God haphazardly. He goes, no, there's a right way to do this. And it's focused on God's holiness. Like he's saying, God, who can be a guest in your house? Who will you let cross the welcome mat into your presence? And David has eight requirements, can we say? I think they're more than suggestions. He says, he who walks blamelessly and does what is right. The word there, blameless, is, it doesn't say perfectly, but is above reproach, we could say. Like, he's not living, or she is not living in sin. So not living as a pattern, blameless, and does what is right. In other words, is characterized by righteousness, and speaks the truth in his heart, because his heart is right. If we speak truth to our heart, then everything else will fall in order. Speaks truth in his heart, number one, and does not slander with his tongue. It's difficult to have a heart that's right, and then on the other hand, to have words that speak about people behind their back in a very negative way. That those do not go together. But he does not slander with his tongue or speak evil about other people. I think we always have to check ourselves on that. It's easy to do that, and the Holy Spirit will pull the reins back on our words and go, no, you don't need to say that. Don't say that. It's happened to me many times. I've wanted to say something. I could sense the Holy Spirit say, no, that would grieve me if you say that. I go, God, forgive me. I won't say that. And it says, and does no evil to his neighbor. Lord, who is my neighbor? Oh, I guess who's ever near you. No evil, no harm, no ill, takes up a reproach against his friend. No, someone speaking evil about my friend, I'm going to defend my friend. I'm going to stand up for my friend. That's what I'm going to do, right? That's what we do. These are the people who live this way are the ones who get the welcome mat into the house of God, and whose eyes a vile person is despised. Yeah, those who break the verses 1 through 3 are not welcomed into fellowship with this person who honors those who fear the Lord. Pastor Wright, Seb, yep, honor. Give honor where honor is due. Those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change. That's a great thing. One author said, word over wallet. That's a good one. Word over wallet. That's what I said, and that's what I said, and that's okay. That's what I said. I will follow through. Even to my own hurt, I'm not going to change my words at the last minute to get out of something. Who does not put out his money at interest. Yep, that is self-interest, taking advantage of others. Does not take a bribe against the innocent. Doesn't prefer justice. Doesn't oppress others. And then finally, he who does these things shall never be moved. He or she will never be moved off of this solid foundation of purity and holiness before the Lord. It's like Jesus said, if we build our house on this foundation, yes, the storms will come and the floods will come and the rain will fall and the winds will blow, but the house will not be moved. It will not be shaken. So, yes, we're all welcomed into God's house. And when we first came to Christ, we were not many of these things. We are welcome. But just to say, this is where God is taking us. That this would be, we would be characterized by these things. He will help us. He will do it through us. And we can invite him, yes, into the process. Amen.
Amen. So now, friends, you can go to your phones and dial that toll-free number, 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700. Let's join in the broadcast with your phone calls. And, of course, all of our friends that are on Facebook and YouTube, you can make your comments. We see them. Thank you so much for posting in, Carol and Vadmir and Gigi. Yes, Gigi says, God bless Ukraine. And I think we're going to see that blessing manifested. And in more ways than one, not just maybe the end of the conflict, but the incredible aspect of people being rescued from absolutely, impossible situations, people getting to safety, people helping other people, motivated by love. And I think we're going to see that, Pastor Hadley, during these days ahead. But yes, so you can join us, friends, with your telephone. Just pick up the phone, dial that toll-free number, 800-338. 7060-410-483-3700. And I really like what you said, and coming out of Psalm 15, David, let's talk a little bit about David. You got him on, the issue of the cart and dancing before the Lord. David is, we have to believe he understood the holiness of God. And what I mean by that is that, well, sometimes when we think of holiness, like you were saying in the beginning, we start with ourselves, that person might be holy, or that, that saint, that priest, or that religious person. But me, know too much about myself. And that's true. We do know too much about ourselves. We're knowing ourselves outside of grace. But the other side is that David got a promise, didn't he, in Psalm 89 and verse 35, where he says, once I have sworn from my holiness that I will not lie unto David. Wow. Based on God's holiness, he says, I will not lie. That's Titus 2, or 1-2, actually. The God who cannot lie. And so it's kind of like saying, let's look at God and what he is like. So he says that he's holy, and he put his holiness on the line, so to speak, in talking with David and promising David some things. He wasn't going to go back on his promises. And that's kind of how we could think about God's holiness, not so much of just, some kind of religious disposition, but more importantly, a conviction that will not change and will not be changed by behavior or by attitude. And so I think we want to think of the holiness of God and welcome that. Welcome that, we can have a confidence. And because of Jesus Christ, because of his righteousness, we have an approach to a holy God who's not going to change. He's not winking at my sin or my failure, but he's not winking at my sin, and he's not winking at my failure, but he's staring at his son who completed everything necessary for us to approach himself.
And apart from that, we have no hope.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, but
he is everything.
He is absolutely everything. And so let's see. Carol says she's listening. You're always listening, Carol. You have good listening ears there. And Teresa sends us her emoji or her person, you know, just waving hi. Thank you very much for being on that. Seb says, yeah, I like those kinds of things. Okay. You know, when you were saying about David, and when I think of David, I think of what he prayed in Psalm 51. And this goes back to a little bit what David knew about God, not what he knew about him. He knew what he had done, okay? And for somewhere, I think the scriptures reveal, 9 months, he kind of like held it within, you know, 9 months. He actually thought his solution was going to solve his problem.
You know? 9 months of misery.
Absolutely. He says, my bones are like parched. I mean, he was in emotional agony. And then in Psalm 51, he asks for something that he does not deserve. Be merciful unto me. Be merciful unto me. And I, you know, out of his sinful condition, he still knew that in that condition, not getting right first and then coming to God, but in that condition, he had a way to God because he knew something about his holiness, his promises, his integrity, his unchangeableness. And this is amazing because, we change on a dime, you know, or maybe a nickel, down to a penny. We change in a moment. But God, you know, he, you know, 119:89 of Psalms, the word of God is forever settled in heaven. So when I take a promise, I take it for what it says, and I can have a confidence and I can have an assurance based upon the promises of God.
Yes, beautiful. And here's a promise right here.
Mm.
1 Corinthians 1:30. He says, and because of him, what you just said, Pastor Wright, because of him, you are in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ Jesus, who became to us, this is for us or to us, wisdom from God. He is our wisdom given to us by God. What a gift that is. We don't have wisdom. He is our wisdom. He will give us wisdom. But this was more than a one promise verse.
Yes.
But also our righteousness. Well, that's a big plus right there, because otherwise we don't have any. It's either a gift or nothing.
Mm.
So, and then once we have it, we start to accrue, we could say, righteousness because of walking in the Spirit. And what we end up doing is righteous, also called good works, which are rewardable.
Wow.
So not only do we get justified and we're given the gift of righteousness, then that righteousness produces righteous fruit, which God starts rewarding us for. So it's all accruing to an eternal reward because God is so great. He has to find a way to get us more, to give us more, to increase our eternal enjoyment in heaven, because that's who he is. Are we convinced of that? Or is he some ogre? Or did he create hell because, as someone wrote, it's the divine torture chamber, because there's a side of God where, he created hell because I don't know exactly why. But the reason why he did is because of justice. He can't cut corners. It's got to be done right. And that's why he gave the gift of righteousness, so that nobody would have to go there. So God doesn't like suffering, but his justice demands that for those who violate his perfect ways, that a price must be exacted. But he is not willing that any should perish. And I think that's so important to understand. There's not the side of God that is somehow, you know, strange. Mm. Like, how could God send someone to hell? Well, he has to because of his holiness and his justice, but he's done everything possible to keep that people don't have to go. So there's not some kind of weird side of God that he created hell. Hell is there because he's perfect.
Yes.
Yeah. So well, let me. Can I just finish this?
Oh, please do.
So
yes.
So then we get the righteousness, which is a gift, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification is ours. He continually allows things to have us default toward his will, sanctified, more like Jesus, old falling away, adding to our faith, virtue, etc. He's helping us in the process. And then finally, it culminates into redemption. Fully bought, fully paid for, fully redeemed from the slave market of sin. We are children of God. When we see him, we will be like him. So.
Wow. You know, and that's a promise, like you were saying.
Yeah.
And you know, and this is the thing that I know that folks would struggle with, this idea. How could a loving God, send anyone to hell? But you know what, Pastor? It's not that God sends anyone to hell, but, you know, it really is that people have rejected grace, rejected salvation, rejected mercy. I mean, the videotape, that's old technology, but it still works, you know. The videotape will be played of all of the times by which God, through people, evangelism, through sovereignty, circumstances, and events, through their whole life, their history. And in each instance, they would say, no, 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 no. And the progressive hardening of the heart, okay, would then come to a culmination where, and we don't know, even in a person's death, that there might be an appeal there. Because if Judas Iscariot at the Last Supper is offered the sop, which was the recognition of honor of all those who were at the table, you know, so I give you the sop, I'm honoring you, and totally unconditionally and totally, you know, free from any incrimination, and he leaves out. Satan fills his heart, and he leaves out. Well, up to that very moment, the Lord was reaching out to Judas, was wanting to win Judas, even though he knew this, he was the son of perdition. But knowledge doesn't truncate or limit love. Knowledge, if I love myself according to knowledge, I don't love myself. I'm not very happy about my life, you know, according to what I know. But I've discovered that in Christ, there's a love that goes beyond my knowledge, and it gets me into the wisdom of God, what he knows about me, about circumstances, about, you know, genetics, the whole thing. Well, so here are people that say, you know, how could a loving God? Well, you know, he will not dishonor that free gift of volition. That was the first gift that he gave to humanity. And yes, we can choose wrongly, okay? But we can repent rightly with that same volition that chose wrongly. And the issue then is that, am I really in hell because of God, or am I really in hell because of myself and because of choices that I made, rejecting, repudiating, and, you know, like we read in Revelation, there's going to be that crowd that, you know, when God appears, when Jesus appears, they say, you know, the rocks, may the rocks fall on us. What? Like, what do you want to, what? They just didn't want to face him. And that's a condition of the heart. Well, let's go to our phones. Thank you for those that are calling in. 1-800-338-7060 is the toll-free number, 410-483-3700. We're talking about holiness and purity today from the book of Proverbs. And let's go to Lauren and in Port Chester, New York. You're on the Grace Hour, Lauren. God bless you.
Yeah, same to you, Pastor Wright. And also glad to meet you, Pastor Hadley.
Thank
anyhow,
you.
Anyhow, to get to the chase, what I wanted to comment about maybe for a couple seconds is the last verse of chapter 17 where the psalmist, I presume it's David, would say, I will be happy when I awake to his likeness.
Yes.
And I didn't even discover that verse, and I guess maybe it was a couple of years ago, you know. And sometimes I even think, oh, well, I could almost use that evangelistically in a sense. If somebody said, well, now what was really going to make you happy? If somebody says that to me, and I think that's one of the things I would quote. I would say, well, when I awake to his likeness.
Well, you know, that's amazing, Lord. That's a promise, by the way. And
it sure sounds. Oh, is it?
It is, because I think it's 1 John talks about how that, you know, that there will come when we progressively grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and the work of sanctification through the Word and through the Spirit in our lives, we will come to the place when He appears, it says, we shall see Him as He is, and then we will come to the recognition that, but gosh, well, we are like him.
It does say that. It does say that in 1 John. I think that's towards the end. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. So here it is, you know, and it's great that you found this in the Psalms, because, you know, this the Bible, the Word of God, is one thought. It's the thought of God. And, you know, it is so incredibly one and knit together. So, yeah, this is David. And he's saying, you know, as for me, I will behold your face in righteousness, or in other words, in God's integrity and his holiness. I'll see God, but then I'll see that he gave me, in Romans 5:17, the gift. And Pastor Hadley brought that out so preciously. Righteousness is a gift. I can't earn it, don't deserve it, and live without it. But if I have it, that is the currency of heaven. The righteousness of God is what gets me to be able to face a holy, pure, just, righteous God with his own righteousness, okay? And so then we will see that is how we are able to be as he is.
Pastor Wright?
Yes, sir.
You know, it was I think it was at least a few months ago, you were commenting on how Psalm 19 is one of your favorites, or you said something to that effect, and I said to myself, you know, and I was thinking of this verse which I just commented about, and I said, well, I got to tell Pastor Wright that someday, because 17 is like maybe just a stone's throw away from Psalm 19.
It is. You know, in fact, you could misturn your pages and just get there. Lauren, thank you so much for your call.
Yes, Pastor Wright, my best, everybody. And thank you all so much for what you're doing in Europe, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you for praying.
Good day, sir.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Well, let's go to Pennsylvania, Pastor Duke. Boy, God bless you, sir. It's good to hear from you.
Hi, Pastor Wright. Hi, Pastor Hadley.
Hi, Pastor Duke.
Hey, I just wanted to call in and say I've really been blessed this week hearing your portions more than I usually get a chance to. It's been a real blessing. You two have just been, just like you mentioned earlier, dynamic duo. Well, you guys have been a dynamic duo also this week, doing lunch wraps and Grace Hour. And the morning devotionals too, Pastor Hadley, I heard one you did, I think maybe Monday. I wanted to call you, but I just wasn't feeling well, when you talked about the sunflowers and that helio, I can't remember the word, but it was just really fresh and good. So thank you so much.
Oh, heliotropic.
Yeah, that was just tremendous. I've listened to it at least three times already to get a hold of it, and it's really good. Thank you, guys. You're so awesome. I love you so much.
Well, Pastor Duke,
thank you, Pastor Duke.
Yeah, yes. You are an edifier, sir. And, you know, just the even from where you are, you know, you have a Thanksgiving spirit about you, and it's evident to all of us. And so keep on keeping on, sir. We love you and praying for you and trusting God continues to use you in spite of you. That's the truth for us.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are a wonderful blessing to the body of Christ. And we really love you here in PA. So keep up the grace work, guys. I love you.
Thanks, Pastor Duke. Yeah, that was from the author is Natha, I think. It just has one name. But he goes into the heliotropic plants, like the sunflowers that they face the sun to get full benefit from the rays of the sun, and how we use that example as us being the same way with the sun, S-O-N, and to the measure we always follow him and focus on him and are facing him, to that measure we will be have all our spiritual nutrition and grow to our full potential.
Wow. I wish I had flowers like that, Pastor.
Those things. You ever seen a field full of them in the late summer?
I haven't. I've just seen them, you know, like one or two, and they're huge. But, think of this. And I just was reading something recently about this new telescope that they have up in space, James Webb Telescope, which is supposed to be, I don't know how many times more powerful than the Hubble, okay? And they think, you know, they're thinking that this thing is going to be able to look to the ends of the universe. This is how they're talking, okay? And I said, you know what would be surprising? You look to the ends of the universe and you see somebody staring back. Don't take that personally. It's in the Bible. God is in the heaven watching. Watching the work of men. 1-800-338-7060 is the toll-free number, and 410-483-3700. We just have a few minutes left, 2 minutes left, friends, because of the Eurocon that we're going to go to at 2 o'clock. You can watch that live, the evening service there. So if we have any other callers, this is the time. Jump right in, right away. And Oretta, thank you. Good afternoon to Pastor Wright, Pastor Hadley. Love you all for your faithful dedication ministering God's holy word to us. Have a blessed day. You know, Oretta, you are also a recipient of that blessing. Thank you so much for your edification. Well, what was the question in terms of that verse? 1 John 3:2. Okay. And it says, now listen, this is beloved. Now are we the sons of God. Now we're declared as righteous enough because of the gift of righteousness. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, and the second coming is like stand-up applause. Come on.
Come on, Pastor. Yeah. Bring it in.
We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's incredible. Not at some abstract religious icon, but he put on a human body, perfect, sinless, blameless, got that perfect, sinless, blameless human body to a cross to be the absolute perfect sacrifice so that we, and I heard it last night, so he forsook his fellowship with the Father so that we could have fellowship with him. That was amazing. Thank you, Pastor. I mean, that was an amazing statement from yesterday's message, last night's message. Forsaken. Eli, Eli, he cries from the cross. God, God, not Father, but God, God. Well, friends, we'll be back tomorrow at the same time. Thank you for being with us. God bless you. Until next time on the Grace Hour.